Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks so much for joining us. Hit us up here on the show on a Target Demo Friday. Let us know what you're doing as you listen to the show. Let us know where you're at. And what you got cooking this weekend or today, and we'll read them coming up in the final hour of the show. A big next hour here on the DA. Coming up in about 17 minutes from now, your tasty top five. I'll count down my five favorite college football games of the weekend.
That's very good, Damon.
Also, we'll hear from Antonio Brown later on in the hour, defending his emotional outburst and not showing up to practice and film work on Monday. Next hour here on the show, Mraz has his up the gut picks and his football food of the week.
Chubbo.
All of that coming up this morning on the show on a fabulous Target Demo Friday. It's a toll-free line if you want to jump in to talk about last night's Browns and Jets game, Darnold versus Mayfield. What happens here to the Browns? Have they turned a corner? Also, the NFL weekend, the college football weekend. Hit me up on all of it at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. So, last night, Jets, Browns, and that didn't feel like a normal Thursday night game. Well, it did at first. It looked like exactly a Thursday night football game. I will say this. Yesterday, I had said that the Browns messed up on their color rush uniforms going brown on brown. I normally hate monochromatic football uniforms. The only time one color works is when it's a very dark color. The Ravens all black works. When the Jaguars have done all black, that works. The Eagles all black. You needed a very dark color. Last night, because that brown is so deep and dark, that actually worked for the Browns. The one thing I would say is that it only works if you have the piping down the pants. And they didn't have it say Browns. It can't have any word on your pants. But usually you'll see that without any stripes down the pants, and then it just looks like yoga pants on football players. And that's utterly obscene and stupid. When monochromatic uniforms pop out and it's all white or all blue, light blue, or all green or all yellow, it's awful, especially for offensive linemen. The big boys look terrible. Last night, the Browns looked pretty good. I would have preferred those with white pants. Overall, though, they look pretty good. Buck and Aikman on that call was so weird. And you could only imagine when Buck and Aikman get the email from the bosses, okay, here's your Thursday night schedule. It'll include Jets at Browns week three. At that point, Aikman gets really nauseous and goes to the bathroom to vomit and ask, why did I sign up for this again? And then quickly his bosses say, oh, but don't worry, next week after that, we'll get you Vikings-Rams. Oh, okay. It's almost as though the NFL slid Fox Vikings-Rams just as a pill to make this puke go down easier. Browns and Jets. But when the dust settled, we had a thriller. We had Baker Mayfield come in and lead the troops back from a 2-touchdown deficit. And yet, Tyrod Taylor, a.k.a. Tyrod, you ain't getting your job back. I don't worry about Sam Darnold. I know it wasn't a good night for him. He'll be fine. Baker Mayfield looked the part, ran the offense efficiently. There was a jolt clearly in the team, and I really like how Mayfield has not been brash and obnoxious and swaggalicious and grabbing his crotch and playing with a chip on his shoulder like he did at Oklahoma. He has just gone about his business, and that is the best compliment I can pay him. For the Jets, Todd Bowles once again has a team that is not holding on to leads and is playing undisciplined football. And I want to like Todd Bowles. I like how even-keeled he is. I think he did more with less last year than most coaches could have. But this is just another undisciplined effort from the Jets where the play calling got stagnant. They committed too many personal foul calls or penalties. And even though the Browns kind of were predictable, they couldn't figure out a way to stop it. And the Browns and Mayfield just punished them in the second half. And that brings us to Isaiah Crowell, who punches it into the end zone, scores a touchdown for the Browns, for the Jets, against his old team, the Browns. It's his second touchdown of the night. It puts the Jets up by 2 scores. And the celebration, maybe not the classiest.
Third down and 1 at the 2. I formation. Toss to Crowell. Runs left. He gets hit. He's at the goal line. He's in. That's a Jet touchdown. Another rushing touchdown for the old Brown, Isaiah Crowell, as he victimizes his own team for the second time here in the first half.
Bob was shoes on Jets radio. Now, if you saw this, you know exactly where I'm going with this. Crowell decides to pantomime cleaning himself with the football. He kind of squats, uses the football as an apparatus to cleanse himself, and then decides to throw the dirty tissue into the proverbial dirty tissue into the stands. When I saw this, it reminded me of Randy Moss mooning, but he didn't really moon. Remember, he didn't pull down his pants. He just pantomimed doing it. It reminded me of that, but I barely blanked. I'm like, okay, that's what Crowell wants his celebration to be. My first thought is, that's your celebration? Out of all of these really creative, really funny celebrations over the last 2 years, now that the NFL has loosened the grip on this, you decide that's going to be how you celebrate? That's your moment of joy and happiness? This is, yeah, I got into the end zone. Everybody's going crazy for my team. I'm really happy, and I'm going to act like I need to clean myself. That was just kind of a weird thing to decide to be your celebration, but of course I'm not offended by it. I just find it so weird how many things people get so angry about. I saw the Colin Kaepernick commercial last night, and once again I said, people are getting mad over a sneaker commercial? They're just selling sneakers. That's all that is. It doesn't have to be anything more or anything less. It is just selling sneakers. To wrap it up into this ideology just seems like it's unnecessary. You don't have to do that. Just like Isaiah Crowell doing that celebration, it doesn't need to be anything besides his celebration, which, of course, is not tasteful, but okay, that's how he chooses to celebrate, which is just so weird. Like, I could only imagine if I just got done with a really awesome show or I just crushed an interview, and in the commercial break, I just do that and I walk out of the studio. And we're like, wow, are you cleaning yourself right now here? You're acting like you're cleaning yourself, D.A.
I love sound check today. Let me give a fake wipe.
So, obviously, some people are going to be very upset, including Stacey Dales. Now, Stacey Dales is an NFL Network reporter. And she goes ham on Twitter last night over this. She gets really upset.
I'm on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Stacey Dales tweets, Isaiah Crowell just pretended to wipe his you-know-what, but she does not say you-know-what, with the football, then throw the ball into the crowd after a second touchdown. Not cool, dude. not classy. Nobody enjoyed that celebration. Okay, so you'd think she just let her opinion be heard, and then that's that. Well, her Twitter followers fire back, and this is where it gets a little testy here. And now Stacey's entire timeline is her responding to people that are blasting her for that take. Somebody tweets, MB tweets, ironically enough, "Did you score 2 touchdowns in the NFL today? No, don't worry about it." And Stacey tweets back, subtweets it so you can see all of this, "I wouldn't want to watch you wipe either. Matter of fact, I don't want to ever see you on my timeline again. Block party." Okay, so Chris in Kansas City then tweets at her, "Please excuse this late notice, but I'm going to have to break our date for Saturday." I don't really know what that means. Stacey then subtweets him, "You haven't had a date in 30 years. Enjoy your keyboard." Hello!
All right.
So somebody else tweeted her a GIF of Randy Moss doing his whole thing. She tweeted back again, subtweeting so everybody can see this on her timeline, "Because mooning and wiping are so intrinsically related. It's disgusting. And please don't ever compare the two athletes again on my timeline." Which is really interesting because now we are talking about the class of athlete being able to celebrate like this. Like, Randy Moss is a Hall of Famer, okay? Don't ever compare Isaiah Crowell to Randy Moss in terms of their tasteless celebrations, okay?
You have to have a gold jacket to be able to do such things.
I remember when Joe Montana attempted to wipe his butt as well in the end zone. Dean H. tweets at Stacey, "Speak for yourself." Stacey subtweets him and says, "I do speak for myself, which is why I tweeted what I did. What an embarrassment to the incredible game of football and its fans." Whew, we're going really deep into this rabbit hole with Stacey's followers here. As the Gorilla tweets, "Oh, honey, it's okay. Men just having fun. Have a sip of wine and pretend to be included." Now, that's a low blow here. And Stacey then subtweets him, "This guy called me honey. I pretend to be included every Sunday. I stand in an NFL field covering great stories and future Hall of Famers. Keep sipping your wine." Good comeback. That one was below the belt. Be Great tweets, and of course that's of course ironic here, "Speak for your bleeping self. I enjoyed it. He got me 18 fantasy points." Stacey subtweets him. I mean, again, this is just going nowhere here, Stace. For somebody who wants to be, quote, the great, like your Twitter handle, you sure are setting your standards at a high bar. Okay. Pay Me tweets. Again, if you're subtweeting Twitter handles like Pay Me, "It was funny, Stacey. Jesus, can't anybody be brash anymore without getting ridiculed? Just bleep off." Stacey then subtweets, "The anger of this young man defending a player he doesn't know, telling me to bleep off. A real winner here, folks." Now, this is getting even worse because people are calling Stacey terrible names. She subtweets them and, again, it's just kind of go to war with these people, and it never helps. She has to respond, "Your mama must be ashamed of you." Whew. This guy called Daddy tweets about what people are eating. I mean, it's just, it's not good. And then Adobe One Kenobi tweets its choice.
Not a lot of Joe Smiths on her Twitter timeline.
I mean, why are we subtweeting Adobe One Kenobi? "If your whole timeline, Stacey, is now filled with you trying to humiliate people who disagreed with you, would that not mean your statement was in fact incorrect? But you're not manning up and taking ownership. You're just trying to put others down." Stacey subtweets again so everybody can see this. "No, reread. When you disrespect others, your karma just flat out stinks. But thanks for your comment." So here's my question. Mraz, number one, was anybody more offended by Isaiah Crowell than Stacey Dales?
No, I don't think anybody could be.
I mean, this became a hot situation.
To go down that rabbit hole for something like that?
That's about 10 responses.
Look, I've been wrong on plenty and went down swinging on
most,
Twitter. Yes.
Most things.
Defend myself even when I know I'm wrong. But that's a rough look.
Is it surprising for anybody to be that upset about Isaiah Crowell?
Kind of, yeah. Like, I can understand looking at it and being like, that's gross. I really don't want to see that. But to, you know, some 12 hours later still be in a tweet storm about how offensive it is to the great fans?
Well, that's the interesting thing, that the last tweets from Adobe One Kenobi, And the response happened this morning. So Stacy is now still going at this thing.
Slept it off and went nuts, even after a great ending. I think you look at that and just realize it's ridiculous, it's silly, it's stupid, but I mean, there's more things in this world to be offended by.
Are we not taken seriously enough? Are we of low intellect here and Stacy is being the classier person?
No, I mean, why does everything have to be like white gloves, like we're eating dinner on the Titanic? It's okay for some foolishness, non-seriousness, and it's okay to laugh. I mean, you took enough seriously and suspended me from a PGP for a belch.
That's right.
But even you were saying it's okay to laugh at how stupid this was by Crowell. And even if you find it offensive, it's okay to laugh that he's an idiot.
I don't even know if I would laugh. I just shrugged my shoulders like, all right, that's what you want your celebration in the end zone to be? Fine. I mean, it's kind of silly, but...
I agree, but could you imagine watching the game, seeing that happen, and like getting up in disgust and feeling appalled by what you just witnessed?
It was like when Joe Buck freaked out over Randy Moss.
Right.
And he says, I'm embarrassed and disgusted by what we just saw. I'm going, wow, Joe, you got to get off that pedestal, man. I mean, that's not that gross comparatively. I talk about this all the time. If you watch sitcoms today... Look at how so much of the humor is sexual innuendo, is crude and is lewd. If you watch Two Broke Girls, I can't even watch that with my parents. It is so crude. We're getting this upset. I mean, all these homicide TV shows are about like really terrible crimes that I'm going, wow, that's too much information here. And we're getting upset about Isaiah Crowell?
I wonder if part of this is in today's day and age in media feeling like you need to, you know, make sure you do the right thing. Nothing, you know, you don't want anything offensive in this world. And I wonder in Buck's case and maybe in Stacy's case if they thought when saying that or tweeting that was the right thing to do and didn't understand the backlash that would come with it where, like, people are still ready to laugh at ridiculousness.
Maybe. It didn't involve nudity. It wasn't a sexually explicit act. It was a bathroom act. In today's day and age of what we let go on television, I know people will say this is sports, this is where kids are, but 8 o'clock, watch any sitcom, it's all crude. I just can't get offended by this.
Plus, let's be frank, as you're saying, pantomime, he didn't literally do the act
exactly.
on TV.
That's right.
You know?
He kept his pants on.
Right. Do you think when he threw the football and everybody was like, oh, I don't want to touch that after what just happened? No.
Yeah. All right. So how offensive was that by Isaiah Crowell last night? I noticed that the broadcast team did not go back to it. They did not show it. They did not talk about it. And Joe Buck did not give us, I am so disgusted by that right now, I apologize.
He learned his lesson.
They just let it go. When we come back here on the show, your tasty top five. I'll count down my five favorite college football games of the weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
You are also the person that is begging information from me every day about how the pasta bar is going to work.
Because I have a mental disability. I'm obsessed with food. I want fried Diablo to slap me in the face. I want sausage and broccoli to be slapping me in each cheek and go, ooh. Give me a damn gift I want to eat.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Full episodes of the DA Show available on iTunes. Simply search DA and CBS Sports and you'll find it there. DA, CBS Sports, you'll find full episodes that you can catch up on or things that you want to hear again. Also on our website, daoncbs.com. James tweets, as far as that Isaiah Crowell celebration goes, it's whatever. It's gross. I was more offended that it hurt his team, even though they punted. Still no excuse, really. Eric tweets, thanks for the conversation regarding the responses to Stacy Dale's tweet. She showed grit and resolve dealing with the trolls. I can see both sides of the coin. Yeah, I just don't know why you fight people that just want to fight with you on social media. This is a lesson that I learned long ago. Look, if you come at me on social media, I realize I'm out there. I put my name on it. That's my opinions. Feel free to disagree. But I'm certainly not going to spend all night fighting each and every one of you. No way. I mean, who has the time or the energy for that? Thomas tweets, it was no class by Crowell. He used to play for the Browns, so he fakes wiping his you-know-what with the football and throws it at the fans. Not cool. He's better than that, regardless how crude late-night TV is. Odell was eviscerated for his fake dog urinating, which was not cool. I'm a big Blue fan. Well, okay, let's stop here. It's not late-night TV, which is crude. It's the same exact time you saw Isaiah Crowell do that. You could flip over to another channel and watch crude, sophomoric humor on television that's usually sexually related. So that's not late-night television for a different audience. It's the same time of the TV. It's the same type of audience that could be watching that. I guess it's just hard to offend me at this point by something that happens on a football field. I mean, did I think that Odell Beckham was sophomoric? Yeah. Was I offended? No. Now, there's a lot of things in this world that are offensive. What an athlete does in celebration is not one of them for me. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all. Geico.com. Michael's in Houston listening on 650 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Mike.
Hi. Good morning to you. To me personally, the like you said, the celebration wasn't offensive, and I think the woman was just trying to get attention. But all this stuff, a lot of it's media because they're saying what they indicate what's offensive or not, and they've been doing that since.
Yeah, but that's kind of a weird way to interpret this, to make this a media thing, because I'm telling you as a member of the media, I'm not offended, and you're focusing on Stacey Dale saying that she was offended, that she's the media. So how am I not the media saying the opposite?
Well, you get offended about the people protesting about the flag and everything. I mean, that's offensive to a lot of people, and then you say it's not, and a lot of the media.
So I'm saying it's not offensive. So when am I saying that something is offensive?
Well, you were saying that the thing about Nick Saban was offensive. I don't think he answered the question, and then he told her how he felt, and you said you were offended by it. What's wrong with how he responded?
I don't think I said I was offended by Nick Saban. When he came after the ESPN reporter, Maria Taylor.
Yeah, that,
oh, I wasn't offended. There's nothing a coach could say that it was offensive. I thought that was unprofessional because that is an obvious question that she was asking diplomatically. He did not have to come at her aggressively or act like, I can't believe you're asking me this.
He wasn't really aggressive with her. He answers a question and then he asks another question.
No, wait a second. No,
yeah.
That's like me saying, open up the phone lines and let me know what you think about Sam Darnold. And then when somebody calls, go, I can't believe you're asking me about Sam Darnold.
Well,
it's
you
the
do
mo-
say that.
It's, well, but I never say. But I never say I can't believe somebody's asking me this. I mean, this is the biggest college football story in the land. They're the number one team of the country, and they just won a national championship. And he's not going to say what he thought about his quarterbacks, and then gets offended at the question. I mean, that to me was ridiculous. But I didn't say it was offensive.
First off, the next question she was going to ask is compare contrast on. You're a reporter.
How
you know
do
that
you
she was
know?
Something like that. You know that she was.
Wait a second, Michael. Michael, you got something against Maria Taylor or whatever, or the media in general?
No, I have nothing. See, now you're being.
Well, you're assuming what she's going to ask. You're assuming the next question. So how can you do that?
It's common sense.
Well, that's
that
stupid.
Come on.
I don't think it's common sense. Look, who do you think has a better gauge on what the next question is going to be, Michael? Do you think it's somebody that went through journalism school and has done this for 20 years or you?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Go ahead. I don't know what your profession is. What's your profession? Michael, what's your profession?
I am a history teacher.
Okay. If I said, well, I don't you know it's common sense what the next class is going to be after the Roman Empire?
And I won't be offended by it.
I'm not offended. I'm saying you would have a better inclination of that. I'm not going to assume what your class is going to be taught.
Well, you just did. You just said this.
I'm saying I wouldn't do that.
You just did, though.
That was my point.
Look at having foresight about what's going to happen.
Michael, I really don't even understand. How can we be having this conversation? You're a grown adult and you teach kids and you can't even have a give and take here.
Dude, it is give and take.
It is not. I don't think it's common sense, okay? I'll say that.
You have no common sense then? Then why are you a reporter if you have no common sense?
I don't think what your interpretation is. I'm not hanging up on you.
Yeah, you always do. You hang up on everybody when you disagree with you. But
hey, Mike, you've been on the phone now for 4.5 minutes. I haven't hung up on you. Now, that's four times as long as I usually take a phone call.
I have a little respect for you. Actually.
Well, that's very nice.
A little
Mike,
more.
I have a little respect for you. I got to go to commercial break, though, and I was supposed to get to my tasty top five.
I'm happy for your wedding, too. Good. Congratulations to you. You take care.
That is the weirdest way that phone call could have ended. I was supposed to get to my top five college football games, but now I'm up against the break, so I'll do that coming up here next.
Good value, big upside.
I do love the Daw. I do.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Aw, I love the Daw.
Sunday morning football returns this week, beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, where we will react to everything that happens in college football on Saturday. I'll give you all the updates on the Vegas lines in action for the NFL Sunday, preview Sunday stuff as well. It's Sunday morning football, and you can watch it at watchda.com and listen to it the same place as you listen to CBS Sports Radio and the DA Show each and every week. Comes your way Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific. This game preview brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, $5 game day pitchers, cocktails, cheeseburgers, and brats. When football is on, you have to be at Buffalo Wild Wings. Price and participation may vary. That sounds amazing. I like all of those things. I was just thinking about where I'm going to watch football this weekend. That sounds like a good place. Colts and Eagles, Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific. Carson Wentz making his first start back since tearing his ACL. Wentz is back. He got cleared for contact. Frank Reich, Carson Wentz's offensive coordinator, is now the head coach for the Colts. So Wentz now taking on the guy that was his OC. Could it come down to Andrew Luck? Philadelphia has the 28th ranked pass defense in the NFL and was torched by Tampa Bay's Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's your Buffalo Wild Wings game preview. Everyone weighing in on Mike in Houston, the history teacher. Jimmy tweets, everyone knows that after the Roman Empire, history teachers like Mike teach about the Mayfield Empire. Hashtag Browns win. Hashtag congrats on the wedding. Dixieland Dan tweets, I think this is the first time I've ever heard you get audibly upset with a caller, DA. This guy was an idiot, but how do you go from Isaiah Crowell to the reporter to Maria Taylor and Saban to history and journalism class to congrats on a wedding? Was that Hurricane Mike? Mike in Houston is fine. He's not an idiot. Totally fine. I don't mind at all when people come at me and want to discuss or want to argue on the phones. I just think that I was speaking a different language. I was saying, I can't assume what you're going to teach in your class. And he said, see, you're assuming. I said, no. I'm saying I can't assume. So that I don't think you can assume what Maria Taylor was going to ask as a follow-up. Because of that, we blew through the stop sign, which was the Tasty Top 5. And so now it is time for the Tasty Top 5.
Every week, DA gives you his most appetizing college football games.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
It's the Tasty Top 5.
I'm tasty.
Let me just tell you, if there is a Saturday to do things with your wife, the honey-do list, to go out, to shop or to fix up the garage or to clean up the yard or to close the pool, this is it. Because tomorrow's college football games are not good. There is not any drama. There is huge point spreads across all of Saturday. Now, I'll tell you this, more than likely some of those huge point spreads will end up as close games, but there is nothing you go, I've got to sit down and watch that football game. Your number five matchup tomorrow, I think, is actually two unranked foes. It's a 3:30 Eastern kick on ESPNU from Doak Campbell in Tallahassee. It's Northern Illinois at Florida State. I bring this up because Florida State is licking its wounds after getting smashed by Syracuse last weekend. They are vulnerable, and everybody that's going to play the Seminoles knows they can be had. This is an 11-point line for Florida State, which to me is way too high. Northern Illinois, you watch. They'll keep this thing close, and there's going to be a scare. And if the Huskies go to Tallahassee and win, Willie Taggart might not be able to coach in October. I mean, this kind of amounts to a must-win game, and you need to do it interestingly and confidently and by a large margin because you've already messed around and nearly lost to Samford. You might mess around and lose to Northern Illinois, so this is number five.
I'm tasty.
Your number four matchup of the weekend's in the Pac-12. and that is tomorrow, number 7, Stanford at Oregon. This is interesting because I think a lot of people overlooked Oregon coming into the season, but you look up and they might be one of the better teams in the Pac-12. I look at them and I look at this matchup, and you have a great defense by Stanford, but this one's at Eugene, and this is a night kick, 8 p.m. Eastern time, 5 p.m. Pacific on ABC. Stanford is the road favorite, favored by less than a field goal, 2.5 points here. And this would be a huge, huge win for Oregon to really step itself up into the national map. Top 10 win over Stanford, and suddenly Oregon's going to be considered one of the best teams of the Pac-12. Watch quarterback Justin Herbert for Oregon getting a lot of love as maybe the best quarterback coming into this NFL draft. This is a great chance for him. Good defense against Stanford. You're at home. Put yourself on the map. It's the nighttime ABC broadcast. The nation is watching. Herbert versus the Cardinal defense is an interesting one tomorrow night.
I'm tasty.
In the Big 12 is your number 3 tastiest matchup of the Saturday, and that is going to be number 17 TCU at Texas. This is interesting because we don't really know what Texas is right now. Are they a terrible team, or are they a team that's just trying to kind of learn what Tom Herman's scheme is all about and getting better by the week? We saw TCU falter last week against Ohio State. They were not in that Buckeyes class. It's a 4:30 Eastern kick on Fox. TCU is also road favorite here by a field goal in Austin. This is a really important shot for Tom Herman to prove that Texas can play with the big boys of the Big 12. They're not ranked. They're not at that level. But if they can take down the Horned Frogs, that's a really good start for Texas coming out of a beginning of the season where they got really embarrassed. So this is a chance to kind of level the playing field, if you will, for the Longhorns, get a win over a ranked team. And let's face it, in-state, Texas A&M and TCU have jumped ahead Texas. Hell, you could say that Houston might be ahead of Texas in some regards. So the Longhorns need these in-state wins, especially in conference.
I'm tasty.
My number 2 tastiest matchup of the weekend is a weird one. You're going to be surprised at this. And that is number 14 Mississippi State at Kentucky. You know, I think that Mississippi State is one of the most interesting teams in college football. And they're 3-0 right now, but they have not played a conference game. They're ranked number 14 of the country. Mississippi State and the Bulldogs have an opportunity, I think, in the SEC West to really make life hard on the big boys, the Auburns, the Alabamas, the Texas A&Ms, the LSUs. This is a chance to have a crossover game in the SEC East on the road. You know, in Lexington, the Wildcats can play well. In Lexington and in Kentucky, they finally got the monkey off their backs earlier in the season with the Florida series. So Kentucky is not just an afterthought. You roll over them every week in the SEC anymore. This is actually a pretty interesting matchup because it's on the road in Kentucky. Mississippi is favored by 9 points. I think it's a closer game than that. It shows you the respect that the Bulldogs are getting, and rightfully so. Can they go to Kentucky and win easily? I don't think it's going to be easy. I think this is going to be an interesting game and a good game, actually.
I'm tasty.
That one's a 7 p.m. Eastern kick on ESPN2. And the best game, I think, of the weekend, the most interesting game, is number 18 Wisconsin at Iowa tomorrow afternoon. Because I thought Wisconsin was a contender for the college football playoff, that this was their best shot at getting to the college football playoff. This was actually tomorrow night. And after last weekend's loss to BYU, you know, you've got to wonder about where Wisconsin is at and if those expectations were too high. They haven't had a really good win yet. They beat Northern New Mexico and Western Kentucky. So this is their first chance at a really important and good win. I was not ranked on the road. They're also a road favorite by just a field goal. You got to go to Kinnick, got to go to Iowa City. Never an easy place to play. I've been there at night. It's awesome. It's an awesome atmosphere. Iowa fans know how to party. It's going to be loud. It's going to be fun. Wisconsin at Iowa tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern kick on Fox. I think it's interesting because if Wisconsin has any shot at being considered as a serious contender for a college football playoff, when all is said and done and the dust settles, you must win this game. Must. This is a must win for Wisconsin. So there's a lot on the line for a team that wants to be playing in late December and January.
I'm tasty.
At your tasty top 5 here on the DA Show, hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Joe tweets, DA, I'm enjoying the pasta bar at work for lunch today. Be jealous, Mraz. Be jealous. Hashtag you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
At my wedding reception over the weekend, we had pasta bar. Mraz went round the world twice. The three different pastas, ate them all twice.
That's a lot of carb overload, but I don't understand. This guy just has, what, chefs coming in at his job doing a pasta bar?
It's a good question. Maybe
I'm lucky we get half a donut out here. What's going on at this workplace of employment?
Maybe the bosses said, nice Friday. We'll cater it for the... We'll bring in a pasta chef for the crew today.
You got to tweet them back. See if they're hiring. Because I could really get in on that.
You need another job?
Yeah, I mean, a job that's going to serve me pasta bars on Friday for sure.
How many plates do you go pasta bar today if here at CBS we had pasta chef outside?
Is it a usual thing or this is going to be the first time and we've never seen it before?
First and only.
First and only? I honestly probably could eat six plates.
Six?
Yeah, because, I mean, at that point, I'm going to take advantage of what the company has to offer here for free. Slob. I make myself eat more even if I'm full.
Six.
Fat.
You go half a dozy.
Half a dozy plates of pasta. Let's go. And I probably need a nap on the train on the way home for sure. But you got to do it.
Time for sound check. Your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs have had some good games already this NFL season, but none at home where they take on the Niners on Sunday. Close your eyes and just imagine Patrick Mahomes is SpongeBob SquarePants' friend.
I've had this game circled for a long time. I'm just being able to play at home in front of these fans. It's going to be an amazing thing. I can't wait for the moment just when I get to run out on the field and hear those fans roar.
Patrick Mahomes is the franchise quarterback that sounds the least like a franchise quarterback.
I think to have 10 touchdowns.
I love Mahomes, and the fact that the Chiefs are 2-0 and rolling offensively and haven't played at home yet is pretty amazing. Arrowhead is one of my favorite places in sports. Man, if I die, send me to Arrowhead on a Sunday and just let me be part of the barbecue and the beers and the coolers and the throwing bags and throwing washers and playing flip cup and just listening to football on the radio and checking out the big screens, man. There's just nothing like Arrowhead on a Sunday, so those fans should be in rare form on Sunday morning. Open up those gates at 7 a.m. and bring in the caravans. Antonio Brown finally speaking to the media after missing Monday at work and having his outburst spill over into the sidelines on Sunday.
Now, you guys make assumptions about my emotion. You guys don't know me at all. You guys just write what you think gonna get hits. Between me and you, everyone in locker know what I stand for, know what I'm about. You know, I'm committed to this program, this organization. I'm fully here. You guys write stories about everything. I'm pissed off. We lost the games. If you guys want to talk to me, let's talk. I'm right here. I'm not hiding from none of you. I don't hide from no one. I'm from Liberty City.
Yeah, look, I think Antonio Brown, I could understand him saying, I want to win the football game. We were losing. I don't like not winning. I'm frustrated. And he's the best weapon they have on the field, obviously, without Le'Veon Bell. So I understand that part. I'm tired of the fake tough guy act. I'm from Liberty City. I'm not scared of you guys. Well, nobody assumes that an NFL player is scared physically of the media. Nobody assumes that grown men that play violent sport are scared of guys or gals with tape recorders and microphones. I mean, that is like, I'm from Liberty City, man. I'm not scared. Well, nobody assumes you're scared like that. It is interesting that you didn't speak to the media on Sunday after your outburst. So, why? Because you were scared you were going to say something that was, you know, you didn't have control of your emotions? Hey, I get that. And finally, Hugh Jackson on last night running the quote-unquote Philly play for the two-point conversion.
We didn't steal it from them. I mean, please, I know everybody want to think that. We've had that in our back pocket for a while, you know. Go check my tricks from before and go check Todd's tricks from before. We all got them. You know, it's just when you pull them out and use them, that's what that is.
Uh-oh. Offensive coaches, Hugh Jackson, saying we didn't steal that from nobody. Go check out my tricks. which for Hugh Jackson and his background, tricks means something totally different in a lot of ways. I think that all these coaches have all of these plays. It's just that now we're seeing the Philly special work so consistently that we're just going to see it keep being used. But I want more trick plays. I want more Philly. I want more double reverses. I want more flea flickers. I want more Statue of Liberties. I want more halfback passes. That's what makes this fun. And if they start working, it's better for all of us. So thank goodness the Philly special, a.k.a. Philly, has worked a couple of times. Thank goodness it worked in the Super Bowl. Thank goodness it worked last night for Cleveland, because that will just encourage coaches to use these things more. And that will do it for Soundcheck this morning. Good final hour of the show. It's a Target Demo Friday, everybody, so I need to know what you're doing as you listen to the show. That way I can read them at the end of the show. I need to know where you are, how you're listening, what you're doing. And I'll read those coming up. You can hit me up on Facebook. Our thread is there on Facebook, so you can put in your information there. Write me back there, Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Facebook.com/TheDA Show. And then also on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, last night, Thursday Night Football, is Darnold v. Mayfield the best young quarterback duel that we'll have over the next couple of years?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.